Okay, well, I'm going to kick off then because it's 6 p.m. British time. And so good evening, everyone. I'm Kath Duncan from MindYourResources.com. And it's so great to have you all joining us on this call this evening. I am really thrilled about the fact that this is a totally international call. Javon and I have just been chatting about how exciting that is. We have people calling in from all over the USA, the UK, France, Dubai, Canada, Tanzania, India, Switzerland, Morocco, Sweden, Finland, Denmark, Norway, Lebanon, Belgium, Indonesia, New Zealand, Turkey, Singapore, Mexico, Iceland, Germany, Pakistan, Vietnam, and Spain. So for me, this is incredibly exciting to have everybody joining us from all over the world. And in a moment, I'm going to be introducing my guest, Javon Dangeli from Neurolinguistics.net, who will be sharing his insights and practical strategies for staying cool, calm, and collected through times of uncertainty. But first, because teleseminars are a new thing for a lot of people, I'd like to just explain how things are going to work this evening so that you can get the most out of this call. Now, because of the number of subscribers that we've had for this call, in order for us to have a really nice clear line so that you can all hear what Javon has to share with all of us, I've chosen to mute the lines so you won't be hearing each other's dogs and children in the background instead. And what's going to happen is that I'm going to be asking Javon some of the questions that have been submitted prior to the call and also a few of my own. And throughout the call, I want to encourage you that you're welcome to go to the webcast page and to submit questions or comments online during the call. And I'll be keeping an eye on that page for any incoming questions or comments, and I'll try to be sure to help Javon to cover those questions during the call. So this call is titled How to Stay Cool, Calm, and Collected Through Times of Uncertainty. And those of you who follow my blog will know that I've been focusing a lot on how to get out of stress and fear and develop a calm, clear mind, what I call an agile mind. And I've been blogging a lot about it and had a lot of free calls this month focusing on dealing with stress and fear. And my new do-it-yourself coaching program called Zen Productivity is really all about how to create a calm mind so that you can think well and get stuff done, even when there's chaos around you. And the reason why I've been focusing on this stuff is because I think we're all seeing a greater number of stress and fear triggers than ever before. And uncertainty, which is something we're going to be speaking a lot about during this call, is a big part of the stuff that is causing us to feel stressed and afraid right now. I think the recession is an obvious, very current issue for all of us. And, you know, I think we're being affected directly or indirectly by that right now. But I think we're also all dealing with increasingly high levels of change and uncertainty in our lives, just in general, because of the way the technology has changed our lives and increased the pace and the interconnectivity. And for me, the fact that you've taken the time to sign up and call in means that you're probably also aware of an increased sense of change around us and the uncertainty that comes with change, and that you recognize the powerful role that your state of mind plays in determining your results. So we're going to be looking at why it's so important to be able to create a cool, calm, and collected mind, especially when you're dealing with uncertainty, and some of the ways that you can go about doing that. So let me introduce my good friend Javon Dangeli. Javon is one of the first NLP people in South Africa that I found and connected with some 4 years ago, I think it was, after I did my NLP certification. Now, NLP stands for Neurolinguistic Psychology, and it's one of the many sets of theories within the world of psychology and personal development, and an incredibly powerful one at that. And it's still pretty new in South Africa, unlike places like the USA and the UK where it's really quite prominent and well used. And so as a humanistic neurolinguistic psychology master practitioner and wellness coach and hypnotherapist, Jevon has been one of the pioneers, really, of NLP and hypnosis in South Africa, and helping to really take those wonderful tools and skills out to people all over South Africa. And in fact, now also internationally, Jevon is also more recently offering NLP and hypnosis training in Spain and Norway as well. And then Jevon is also the developer of the Authentic Self-Empowerment Method, which he might perhaps tell us a little bit about during this call. And these days, he focuses a lot on developing new NLP and hypnosis products. You'll see if you go to his website, and there's a link on the webcast page down in the bottom right-hand corner. It says neurolinguistics.net, and if you click through, you'll be taken to Jevon's website. And you can find on his website, he has a range of 9 audios already that you can purchase, one of which is called Cool, Calm, and Collected. And that's what we're going to be talking quite a bit about tonight. So I'm really excited about what we're going to be learning with Jevon this evening. So welcome, Jevon.
Hi, Kath. Hello again. And wow, what a welcome. I'm graced. That is such a tremendous build up, and I certainly hope I'll have some things to say that measure up to all that stuff you've had to say about me already.
Well, as someone who's already attended some of your live training events and experienced your one-on-one coaching, I haven't got any doubts right now. I'm sitting in anticipation and excitement of what we're going to be learning together. So thank you for agreeing to join us.
My pleasure.
I think a great place to start, Jevon, would be around, you know, what are the qualities of a cool, calm, and collected mindset? I mean, how would you even know if you have one?
Well, Kath, I think a lot of people know when they don't have one. And I think a lot of the issues people face today, whether that mental struggle, psychological or emotional for that matter, as well as physical challenges as a result of having a depleted immune system, which is the result of too many stress hormones in the physiology. These are the things we become aware of that let us know that we've slipped out of our very natural, cool, calm, and collected mindset. I honestly believe it's our natural way of being, and we're born that way. Okay, we can be quite grumpy as babies, and I think any mother or parent would know that. However, I think we intrinsically have a mind that is capable of far more than we learn we're capable of throughout life. And so throughout life, I think the experiences we have, the learnings we get from well-meaning caregivers, our educational systems, religions, society, and so on, this tends to develop a lot of what I refer to as gunk around our more authentic nature. And when we learn to identify more with that gunk, which is our personality, we tend to forget who we really are. And when we're identified with all these layers around our true self, then we start to hit the wobblies in life when the challenges come along. And they do. And they come along to remind us that, you know, you've got this thing here. It's an indicator of what you can learn to focus your life's journey on in terms of healing and growth and development so that you can no longer be shaken up by those challenges. The way you know you've got a cool, calm, and collected mindset is you're able to think clearly and creatively. You're more tuned into your inner wisdom, which is your inner guidance. You're able to respond to life's challenges resourcefully. And you're able to recover very quickly from distressing situations. Those are more mental attributes. Perhaps on a physical level, you'd have a more relaxed body, an agile, flexible physiology, and a strong immune system. So like the good old days, if you get the cold or flu, you're down for just about a day, and then you're back on it again. How long do people suffer with colds and flu these days? because there's so much adrenaline as a result of being stressed churning around in their bodies, and that really tends to wear and tear away at her.
Mm.
Is that in any way answer your question?
Yeah, I love the way that you make the connection between mind and body. You know, I think it's one of the things, one of the powerful things that you bring as a wellness coach. Is there any more that you want to say about that connection between mind and body and the role that it plays in, you know, us having a cool, calm, and collected mindset?
Well, it's vitally important that one recognizes that the mind and body are intimately connected. And if we want to explore that at a deeper level, perhaps from a quantum physics point of view, they are the same thing. We've heard it many times watching movies like The Secret and What the Bleep, that our thoughts create our reality. And therefore, It's what we think that determines how we feel, and how we feel releases those appropriate chemicals into our bloodstream. Nerve energy determines what mode our body goes into, so to speak. And that could be something like a relaxed, grounded, centered, calm mode or state. Or it could be something that's quite geared up, ready to go, ready to jump into action. And quite often that is correlated with stress, which is the fight and flight response, which is a useful reaction to have if we're trying to outrun a saber-toothed tiger. But unfortunately, a lot of people in the workplace these days are triggered in the same way that we were when we used to live in caves. And they start to behave like a cave person, if I can use that metaphor any further. And, you know, it's all good to have adrenaline surging through your system when you need to fight for your life or outrun the enemy. But when it's surging through your system in the workplace, you're less productive. There's less oxygen going to your brain. You can't think clearly. Your body's stressed. You can't be flexible in your thoughts nor in your physiology. And it just starts to wear away at our performance. Then we go home grumpy. We don't sleep well. We start to experience relationship problems at home too. We bring that back into the workplace. And it's a downward spiral. So that would be the downside of ignoring the importance of utilizing very simple skills that are available to us these days that enable us to maintain that cool, calm, collected mindset.
Fantastic. You know, one of the questions that comes to mind for me, or one of the answers really that you've shared is, you know, why is it so important for us to be able to stay cool, calm, and collected? And what you're sharing about the impact that it has on our thinking and ultimately on our results is just so important. And, you know, I find it so interesting that with a lot of the people that I work with, because they're high achievers and they're wanting to, you know, their results are really important to them. Often, you know, the other reason for having a cool, calm, and collected mind, which is just that it feels better, often that's not reason enough for them. And the reason that you've just shared now, the idea that when we're not in a cool, calm, and collected state, we're in the stress response, and that shuts down our thinking and gets us poor results. Often that's the thing that means something to them, and they're willing to begin to think about exploring a cool, calm, and collected mind. So thank you for sharing about that. Do you find that kind of thing that we're so concerned with results that we lose touch with, you know, perhaps it's great to just develop a cool, calm, and collected mindset because it feels better?
Well, I think you're quite right there. A lot of people, probably many on this call or listening to the download, are motivated by results. And we're living in a society that demands results, and probably now more than ever before. And because we're so busy beating the competition, we pay very little attention to ourselves and our states. And that's where we end up wearing down our own batteries, to the extent that there's nothing left of us to give at work, to give at home, or to give to ourselves. And I think one of the most valuable investments anyone can make is that of investing into your own health and well-being so that you're able to perform better in all the various contexts of your life. And recognize that that's not just a luxury that you're affording yourself. These days, that's a necessity. If you want to be performing at your peak, you've got to make time in your day, precious time where you turn your awareness within and just focus on what's happening inside you. And I'm not talking about sitting twice a day for a half-hour meditation, although that would be good. But if you're not willing to take that amount of time, what I'd like to share with you tonight really is a very simple and basic approach where you really just need to take a few minutes, a couple of times a day, to prime your mind so that it's ready to tackle the challenges of life. And then in addition to that, you can, when you practice this a few times, apply this technique in just a couple of seconds. So when there is that trigger that you spoke about earlier that normally pulls the mat from under our feet or rains in our parade, so somebody or something that upsets us, right in that moment, what can you do to enter a resourceful state of body and mind so that you're able to respond effectively to the situation instead of going into knee-jerk response and reacting in a way that is identifying with the negative emotion, which is really that gunk around who you really are. So it's that gunk or that part of the personality that gets triggered. And when we're identifying with that, it tends to cause all sorts of upset. And when we're less identified with that, more tuned in at that point in time, we can then respond resourcefully, wisely, and therefore not feel any regrets down the line.
I love that term, gunk, as well. I think that's officially a technical term now, as of this call.
Oh, okay. Take one.
Gunk. So, Jevon, would you tell us a little bit about your own path? You know, what brought you to being so passionate about working with people around these kind of changes?
Well, that's a good question. I think my interest in exploring the mind has been with me for as long as I can remember. Although I didn't do that in any formal way as a child, I tended to be somebody that would always hang out with the person in the classroom that was being ridiculed by others. I would have a type of empathy, I guess, that was forthcoming. And it's just, I guess, a natural tendency that I've allowed to develop over the years. And so I spent many years after my schooling traveling around the world. And my travels, although merely just to see places and meet people initially, became more an exploration of myself, or of the self, one could say, and various healing methodologies and meditation and spiritual system around the world, as taught by many seemingly popular leaders and teachers that I've come to meet over the years and that I'm very privileged to have met. And I've taken bits that I've learned along the way and really found the red thread that, for me, brought them all together. And those understandings that I've fortunately gained over the years, combined with NLP that came much later in my life and hypnotherapeutic processes and coaching modalities, really led to me working with clients not only in a one-to-one basis, but in group context, with absolute passion. I absolutely adore seeing the lights come on inside people when they find their own answers to solutions. And I really think that is so important, that we find within ourselves the answers or the solution or the necessary resources, which is just an awareness that transcends the way we were thinking before. And that new awareness then enables us to raise the bar on our life and to come closer to what we're capable of, to our potential. And to witness that in another, for me, is such a gift that I absolutely love what I do.
I can tell. And I noticed that you used the word allow. You said, I allowed these parts of myself to develop. you know, that's quite different from saying I actively developed them myself. Is this something that you think is innate for all of us, that there's a sense of allowing it to develop, or is it something that needs to be more actively developed, or both?
I think your last or both would probably be most accurate, in my view. I think these days personal development is quite a big thing, and a lot of that is about, you know, the next best technique or skill.
Mm.
And so we've got a tool to fix any kind of problem. And one works so hard at developing yourself. And I think very often this kind of self-development is really development of the ego. And that kind of development, although it may get you certain levels of success, it wouldn't be, well, what I would consider to be success, which is from the inside out, which also leads to the manifestation of things, objects, money, people in your life that are of value to you. But it's more allowing who you really are to shine, as opposed to piling on more layers, although they're nice layers. There are still just layers around who you are. And my approach is more about removing these layers, tuning into that authentic nature within you, and through that, harnessing your potential, your special abilities, skills, and talents that you've been born with and that have been cultivated throughout your life, and bring those out into the world and be unique and be special. Not that it makes you special, probably it makes you more ordinary, but in that ordinariness, there's a specialness. And when that comes out into the world, I think that authenticity has its own kind of attraction, and it brings into our life all the things that are of true value to us.
So I'm really curious, and you know, we'll get into some of your actual tips and techniques. I'm excited to have you share some of that with our guest today. But first, just to understand a little bit more about change and uncertainty and what it does to us, why do we get anxious through change and uncertainty? I mean, is this a normal thing?
Well, Kath, I'd say it's quite normal. And it's normal depending on what we're identifying with. So when we're identified very closely to our job, that particular profession, or to the things that we own, for example, and the changes that occur in our life threaten that, then we don't know what the future is going to bring. And I'd suggest that that kind of uncertainty is the great underlying fear of fears. We don't know what's going to happen in the future. So what do? We start to set goals. We start to set goals, and that's not a bad thing, but when you're setting a goal out of a state of fear, that's the very energy that motivates your entire goal-setting process. And that's the very energy that will recycle down the line, which is why people end up being unfulfilled, even when they achieve their goals, because of the state that they're in when they're setting those goals, which highlights the vital importance of making sure that you're never deciding, choosing, or setting any goals unless you're in a resourceful state. So, a situation appears in our life, let's say retrenchments in the workplace, and we know that people are going to be asked to leave, and we might well be one of them, and that's thought starts to play games in our mind, and quite often people will conjure up worst case scenarios, all the what ifs. What if it's me? What will I land up doing? What will I land up becoming? How will I provide for me, my family, the mortgage, and all these things? And we paint a very bleak picture of a hypothetical future, and we keep on thinking about that and reinforcing it. And now, think law of attraction. What are we really attracting into our life? Well, it's more of that. What I'd like to suggest is that it's possible to feel the uncertainty of what we don't know and allow yourself to become more and more comfortable being in that space. Now, why would you even want to do that? Well, it's because change and uncertainty is the energy that brings new possibilities and creativity into your life.
Mm.
As a matter of fact, if any one of you listening to this call right now can think of a situation in your life where you felt uncertainty, think, for example, and I think this might be a useful approach, consider now a breakthrough experience, a kind of aha moment you've had in your life. It can be small, it can be massive, or anything in between. But consider very briefly an example in your own life right now where you've experienced some kind of a breakthrough of sorts, or some kind of aha when the lights came on and suddenly there was clarity for you again. And I'd really like each of you who are listening to this to think of your own example of that right now. And as you come up with that example of when you had that type of breakthrough, backtrack a little to just moments before, or maybe the day before, and answer for yourself, what state were you in, what was your mental and emotional state just prior to your breakthrough experience? What was your mental or emotional state just prior to having that kind of breakthrough or aha moment? And because you're on mute, I'll go ahead and assume the kinds of experiences that you were having. And I've guided many people through this particular process in the past, and what I've always heard is, I don't know how things are going to turn out. It's unknown. It's uncertain. There's fear. There's anxiety. They feel stuck. Mm. Or anything related to those kinds of experiences. Yeah?
That's what came up for me when I went to my examples. That sense of confusion, or just total lack of clarity, unsure what next, almost a sense of stuckness.
Exactly. And you know why that happens? It's because that particular kind of fear, it's a fear-based emotion, is actually the prerequisite state to the breakthrough experience, to the aha, to the new ideas, to the lights coming on. And therefore, the more we can allow ourselves to become comfortable with uncertainty, comfortable with the unknown, the more we allow ourselves to be open to new opportunities, new possibilities, and new experiences that we cannot conceive of when we're at the effect of that kind of fear and we're sort of limiting our awareness. We're thinking, oh my gosh, now if those recruitments come around, could it be me? And if it's me, what will I do? And we become anxious about that. We go home with that anxiety and we download that onto our spouse, and then they react to that, and we go to bed with it, and we wake up in the next morning and it's still there, and we go back to work and we're thinking more and more about it. It's getting worse. Now, what's that doing to your performance in the workplace? Could it be that you're setting yourself up to be on that recruitment list or the retrenchment list?
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's the importance of actually learning how to embrace uncertainty and recognizing it for the amazing, incredible energy that it opens us up to, opens our awareness, opens our minds to new ideas and possibilities, to the extent that we can learn to become comfortable with uncertainty. And I'd just like to highlight, you know, in the universe, in the entire universe, what is greater, what we know or what we don't know?
Sure.
Kat, could you answer on behalf of our listeners?
Clearly there's far more that we don't know than what we do know.
Most certainly. What we don't know is an infinite ocean. And what we do know is but a tiny little island within that infinite ocean of the unknown. And therefore, the unknown will keep on showing up in our life. It's necessary for us to grow, for us to evolve as people, for us to develop. It's a necessary state. And so you can't outrun it. You can't escape uncertainty. It's going to show up in your life. The more you try duck, dive, hide, push back, suppress, swallow down, whatever it might be, this state will keep showing up in your life. You can never outrun it. So we may as well learn to stop running, turn around, face and embrace it.
That's really powerful. I love that distinction you've made, that uncertainty is a prerequisite for creativity and for breakthrough moments. That's definitely something I'm going to be holding as a mantra. And you've, John from the UK has actually given us a question that you've touched on a bit. So I'd like to introduce his question here. He said, how can I empower myself if the change is out of my control and the future is uncertain? So you touched on the theme. He says, my company is downsizing and retrenching people, and we're having a meeting this week to find out who's going to be asked to leave, and we're all feeling really anxious. Have you got any other further tips? I'm sure this is going to be a powerful distinction for him to think of how much of a creative space his uncertainty could be for him right now. I'm wondering if there's anything else that, any other advice you could give him?
Well, okay, let's see. The future is uncertain. There's no doubt about that. So we don't know what the future is going to bring. What's the problem? Really, what is the problem? Usually the problem is the way we think about it. It's all the questions we ask ourselves about what could happen, what if, and the negative picture we start to paint in our own mind. And what happens is that then ends up taking us down that downward spiral that I highlighted before. But if you can allow yourself through applying, say, the cool, calm, collected technique, and I'll teach you the first part of that in a moment, and it in itself will be useful. Use that to get yourself into this kind of resourceful state of mind, and but you'll more easily be able to identify the opportunities that are being presented in your situation at that given moment, as opposed to the problem. And the more you focus on the opportunities, the more that's what keeps showing up in your awareness, not down the line, but right now, in the moment. The new resourceful ideas that bubble up, the new proactive steps you can take that lead towards the results you want, as opposed to reacting to the situation and re-inviting those old situations, which is what you're focusing on. They're the negative things, and guess what keeps showing up in your life then? I think a worthy thing to bear in mind when you're in such a situation would be, who do you need to become in order to attract the people and circumstances that you want in your life? To ask yourself that question, who do I need to become in order to attract the people and circumstances that I want in my life? And actually,
very powerful.
Make a picture, yes, make a picture in your mind of you as that person. Fully associate into that, being that person that you want to become, that is attractive to the people and circumstances that you want. Get in touch with the feelings, get in touch with the emotion, get in touch with the thought process you would have as that person. And start to behave as that person. Start to do what that person would do, and next thing you'll know, you're heading down the right track. The one that you've attracted into your life through being that person. And at the end of the day, the person you ought to become is none other than yourself. But asking yourself that question will connect you with who you really are, what you're capable of. And it's a way of identifying that and getting into that state, the thought processes and the physiology that resembles the person you are. And so you're becoming that person more and more. And you're shining from the inside out, as opposed to being identified with those layers of gunk that I mentioned earlier.
Yeah, we're so often encouraged to focus on the goals that are about having and doing. And you know, even the SMART goals process tends to be something that is constructed and used more around the having and the doing. And the more intangible stuff that we can make so much more real through using visualization, like you're saying, is so much more powerful. That's a very powerful question. Who do I need to become in order to attract the people and circumstances I want? I love that. Thank you.
Yes. And recognize Recognize that all you are is change. Everything inside you is changing all the time at a cellular level and at the level of your perception. And therefore, you can recognize that the only constant in life is change. The only constant in life is change, and you are that change. Everything's changing. And this is interesting when we ask ourselves the questions about, oh, how can I manage this? How can I keep up with the rate of change these days? Well, it's just that you've forgotten everything is changing all the time. And when we can embrace change and start to focus on the changes that are happening within us, we can start to overcome the stuckness that prevents us from going with the flow of our life. And that flow isn't necessarily the flow, the kind of mainstream flow, what everybody else is doing, and therefore I'm going with that. It's more the flow that you identify your life is going in. Like one of my teachers, John Overdurf, says, you know, you can go out into the ocean and you can start to splash around and try to create a wave so that you can kind of ride that wave back to the shore. Or you could recognize that there are all these waves. They're going your way already. Why don't you just notice the wave? It's a movement. It's something that's changing, and it's going in the way that you want to go. Get on it. Don't miss the opportunity. And the only way you're going to even identify that wave is through recognizing what's happening around you, being in a state that I call peripheral vision. And yes, vision in this sense can be a state. It's an awareness of what's happening 360 degrees around you, as opposed to being in tunnel vision, fixated on that one all-important goal that we've set for ourselves, that we're kind of galloping towards like a racehorse down the track with blinkers on, completely unaware of what's happening in our periphery. And my suggestion is that when we can remove those blinkers, become more aware of what's happening in the periphery of our experience, we'll be open to all the opportunities that come knocking at the door. And I think I heard this from Jim Rohn, actually, one of the interesting things that Jesus once said is, I stand at the door and I knock. And that I find intriguing because, you know, when opportunity comes knocking at the door, are we even in the appropriate state to recognize it as an opportunity? Or do we just hear another knock at the door that we ignore like all the others?
So, Jevon, would you help us with a process and perhaps from your cool, calm, and collected CD where we can practice getting into that kind of appropriate state that you talk about, because it's so important. And I think a lot of the time we've got these triggers around us that are really pushing us into unresourceful states. A lot of the change and the busyness and the demands being made of us in our busy lives, they're all just stress and fear triggers that can send us straight into that stress response where we get that physiological and chemical change that causes us to be more blinkered in our thinking and our vision and not see the opportunities that are sitting right in front of us and not be able to catch the waves that you speak of that are, you know, going right our way. How do we get into that kind of state that where we can see the opportunities and access that resourcefulness?
Okay. Well, I think what would be useful here, so that it's not just learning how to go into a state, but we can actually run it on one of our challenges that we're having in life right now, might be to briefly consider, and any one of your listeners right now I'd invite to briefly consider something that's causing you anxiety or fear, some kind of unwanted state that has to do with uncertainty. In other words, you don't know what the future is going to bring. And as you think about that potential future or your current situation at work, wherever it might be, it induces that kind of unwanted emotion based on the fact that you don't know what the future is going to bring. And if you can think of your own example right now, everybody, and just consider what it is that causes you this kind of uncertainty and the feelings associated with that. And as you think of your own example now, what's the mental picture that comes to mind? What's the picture in your own mind, whether that's clear or vague, that comes to mind as you think about that situation? Once you've got that mental picture, how does it feel in your body? And just notice that feeling. If it's anxiety, you might already start to feel a bit of that in the chest, or whatever it might be. Feel it in your body right now. Okay, and then you can just let go of that, because we don't want to harp on about unwanted states, and just take a deep breath in and let it all out. And with that out breath, you can just release whatever is not feeling so good in you right now. Good. And now, here's a way to very quickly enter a calm and collected state. And I'll teach you the first part of the cool, calm, collected technique, which in itself will induce that state. And of course, when we add the rest of the technique to that, it becomes extremely effective and powerful. But basically, the quickest way to change your physiological state is to change the way you're breathing. Now, there's a certain breath for stress, and usually it's a kind of shallow breath in the upper part of the chest that inhibits optimal blood circulation to our brain and to our bodies, and it kind of shuts us down. And that's usually the kind of breath we're in when we're in fight and flight mode. You can't sustain that over time. The blood pumps to your muscles instead of to your organs and to the brain. So this kind of breath that I'll introduce you to will allow for more oxygen supply to your brain, and it also activates the body's natural relaxation mode. It will put you into a state of relaxation. And in the beginning, you would need to do this for about half a minute, and after a while, just three of these types of breaths will have that relaxation effect. And it's very simple, and some of you might have even heard of this type of breath before. It's referred to as the 1-2 conscious breath. And 1-2 because you're breathing in a normal breath to the count of 1, but then your out breath is twice as long. And so your inhalation is through the nose and your exhalation is through the mouth, but twice as long as your inhalation. And so if I can exaggerate it and create the sound of what it would be an inhalation through the nose and long exhalation through the mouth. And all you need to do is breathe like that for half a minute. And if you're listening to this call right now, I really encourage you to do that, because it's just an idea until you do it and feel what it's like in your body. So easy, normal breath through the nose, long releasing breath out from the mouth. And continuing to breathe that way while I speak on and give a few more instructions. Because while I'm talking, you'll actually start to notice certain signs that let you know that you're relaxed. And some of you that are not used to breathing in this way might even feel slightly lightheaded. And the reason for that is there's oxygen coming into your brain, and your brain's not used to having oxygen. And you ought to be having this amount of oxygen in your brain in order to think clearly and creatively. And after a while, when you practice this breath, you'll no longer feel dizzy at all. So while you're still breathing in that 1-2 fashion, recognize that you're actually activating your body's natural relaxation mode. It's like a switch that switches on this calm and centered response and switches off the fight and flight response. After about 30 seconds of this breathing, you will not physiologically be able to experience the state associated with anxiety or tension or fear. So that's the benefit of doing it. So by now you should have been breathing in this 1-2 fashion for about half a minute at least. And I'd like you to pay attention to how your body feels right now. Kath, how's your body feeling right now?
Amazing, Giovanna. I'm trying my best to stay in an uptime trance. But really, a combination of heaviness, that sense of, I think what comes to mind is that sense of when you just wake up in the morning and your body feels really heavy but light at the same time. it's a beautiful feeling.
Okay, great. Love. And generally it is that kind of relaxed body that can feel kind of heavy, and a lightness in the mind because of the oxygenation of your brain and really your circuitry is being lit up, so to speak, in the nervous system. And so as you're breathing in this way, you're feeling that relaxed yet alert mental state, and your body relaxes. Now, bear with me, folks. I'd like you to once again think about that picture you had in your mind while you're in this relaxed state, that original picture you had, the one that caused that old feeling of anxiety or fear or whatever it was for you. And notice that picture now while you're in the state. And as you're focusing in on that picture, that one object of reference, that detail in your mind, what is everything else in your entire life that you're not aware of in this moment as you're focusing on that thing? What is everything else that's going on for you right now in your entire life besides that thing which you were focusing on? And as you bring everything else into the foreground of your awareness, now notice how small that old little thing is in the context of your entire life. And as you notice how small that old little thing is in the context of your entire life, how important is it to you now? And while you're in this state, what else can you become aware of? What are the new possibilities or even opportunities that are existing for you right now? And when you bring something innovative or new or affirming into your awareness, then just think about that. Make sure you bring it more vividly into awareness. And the next step would be just to take action on that. So, Kath, I'll ask you to represent our audience and let me know when you're
ready. That was fantastic. I think, you know, when you were speaking about how we can shift our awareness into everything that isn't the problem that we've been focusing on, it was just this amazing sense of aha. Wow, you know, there's just the problem shrinks. It seems so tiny in comparison to the vastness of everything else, and everything else that's so awesome and so good and going so well.
Yes, we tend to lose sight of that when we're experiencing that trigger that you speak about. And suddenly that problem becomes everything in our life. In that moment, we negate everything else that we are, everything else that's good. And we focus all our attention on that problem, and that just begins that downward spiral to more of the same. What we can do in that moment is enter that calm and collected state. The breath will help you to achieve that. And once you've felt that relaxation, only then consider what everything else going on for you in your life. And I stress the importance of first entering the resourceful state, that calm and receptive state of mind and body that the 1-2 breath initiate is absolutely necessary. Otherwise, everything else, I don't have time for that right now, you know, because you're not in the appropriate state. That state, which the breath begins to enable you to enter, is the gateway to an expanded awareness. It's the gateway to your inner resources and wisdom, to your inner guidance that then brings up those ideas and inspiration and whatever's most appropriate and proactive for you, bringing that up into your awareness. Much more so than trying to think about it while you're kind of on the go and you're still in that busy or even negative state. So the state is the gateway to those inner resources, and it's vitally important that you actually take the time, whether it's a moment or 10 minutes, to get yourself into that state before you begin to think of the results you want to achieve in your life.
Wow, that's an incredibly powerful process, and I'm thrilled that we're recording this call because I know that it'll be great for listeners to be able to go back and play the recording again and guide themselves through this process as they get familiar with it. So thank you for that. Veronese has much earlier in the call, before you guided us through that process, asked if you would give us some physical tips and techniques. So I hope that that has answered Veronese's question. We've had another question come in from SG in London. And SG says, I've recently been made redundant, and despite having a mortgage to pay and other responsibilities, I take this break as an opportunity for a new start, and even so, a complete change of career. And I'm currently in the process of finding my way and thinking about what it is I want to do, and this is a bit of a struggle, but I'm confident that I will find my way. Unfortunately, I'm biting my nails, but this time very badly, which concerns me. It is not only disgusting, but I'm concerned that someone, a potential employee, might misjudge me about the nail biting. And this makes me very unhappy because not only do I still do it, despite being conscious of it, but I'm very disappointed with myself. And so it hugely affects my morale. And in effect, I don't get on with what I'm supposed to do because I'm worrying about the nail biting. So do you have any advice or tips for me to deal with this? Do you have any advice or tips to deal with the concern around nail biting and the way that that's sounding like it's diverting SG from what is otherwise sounding like a very resourceful state?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, I think what you said there is the concern about the nail biting is really the problem. And it's really that concern and the thoughts and internal representations in our mind about that that lead us to behave in less than resourceful ways. And that kind of behavior may jeopardize our performance, and therefore we end up not experiencing the results we'd like to experience. So it comes down to exploring those thoughts about it. And whether it means stopping your nail biting or not, I do help clients with those types of things. In fact, there's a product called Drop the Habit, Set Yourself Free, on our store page of the website, which might be useful for just that type of a thing. But in this instance, let's stick to the theme we're with. How can one keep a cool, calm, and collected mindset so that regardless of the situation you're facing, you're going to stay calm, or however you'd like to remain resourceful in that moment? And once again, it's going to come back to that question, who do I need to become, or just who do I need to be, in order to attract the people and circumstances that I want in my life? And fully associate into that person. That person is you, but it's your resourceful self. And so when you identify with that part of yourself, be fully in your body, get in touch with the feelings, and it's a little imagination, really, a simple thing to do. But you get in touch with the feelings, and those are the appropriate emotions that evoke the appropriate responses or behaviors in the situation that you're now facing. And whether it means stopping the behavior that you believe is the reason why you might not achieve certain results or not is less important than not believing all the thoughts that the mind, when identified with the layers of gunk, tends to conjure up. And being more identified with who you are and what you're capable of, and responding from that part of your awareness. Now, I don't know if that really answers this question, but it's what came to my mind in response to that.
I think you've done a great job. And we had another question from Jana in Hamburg as well, Divine. And I'm aware that we are at 5:02, so I wanted to check with you. Are you okay? Sounds like the listeners are getting a lot of value from this call, and so they're sending in questions. Are you okay if we go a little bit over time, say 10 minutes max?
Not a problem. Fine.
Thank you. Thank you. So Jana in Hamburg has asked, how would you adapt the cool, calm, and collected process for children?
For children? Well, that's a great question too. Children do this so easily. In fact, I had a client today, age 12, and her sense of imagination was amazing, so much so that it was causing her the problem that her mother brought her to see me for. But in that ability to imagine as well as she does, we managed to change the metaphor in her mind to that of something that is something she likes to think about, as opposed to that ongoing problem that used to be what she was thinking about. Both are imagination. And so with children, I like to teach them the basic cool, calm, collected technique, enabling them to relax, and then start to think about the situation that they'd like instead. The benefit of helping children is that they're so good at visualizing things, at making up stories in their minds, and they do it so much more quickly. This kind of technique is very easy to teach to children, and it's a process of showing them exactly the same way I'd show an adult, how to do the breathing technique, how to do the other part of the technique, which is entering peripheral vision and expanded awareness. And through that, having a more resourceful state, which in itself helps you to make more resourceful pictures in your mind. Now, once again, the importance of this is when you're in a resourceful state, you're unable to make resourceful pictures. Sorry, when you're in a resourceful state, take that back, you're able to take resourceful pictures. When you're in an unresourceful state, you'll make unresourceful pictures, and you'll be attracting whichever one you're doing. I once had a client that wanted me to help her feel happy, and so I was eliciting moments in her life, or I thought I would elicit moments in her life when she's been happy and help her identify with those again. She couldn't think of a single one, not one in her entire lifetime. And I noticed the way she was sitting while she tried to think of happy memories. And it was certainly not a happy physiology. So I asked her to show me, if she was to be happy right now, not suggesting that she should be, but if she was to be happy right now, what would her happy body language look like? What would her happy physiology be? So just to change what you're doing with your body so that it resembles the way you want to feel. And I'm not suggesting fake it till you make it here, or just pretend until you are, although that might be useful for you. But the key is to change what you're doing with your physiology until it looks like what you want to be feeling. And then you can start to think about the resourceful ideas, impressions, action steps to take. Because when you're thinking about them in an unresourceful state, you'll just keep reinventing that old wheel that takes you down that same old path, and you start to relive the same old patterns in your life unresourcefully. The key is your state, and your state is driven by what you're doing with your physiology, and that's the importance of the 1-2 breath. It helps you to enter that cool, calm, collected state of mind, and children love it. they do it so easily and so well. It's a fun thing to do with them too.
Fantastic. And Javon, you mentioned that this process that you took us through was just the beginning of the process in the Cool, Calm, and Collected audio. Can you tell us a little bit more about what benefits someone might get from the rest of the audio?
Well, okay. As you've heard, there is this technique that I teach on the Cool, Calm, Collected recording. That's just one of the tracks. Certainly a very useful technique and can help people to, in a very easy and effective way, to bring awareness into the present moment, to calm the mind, to relax the body, and to become aware of more choices. Probably the highlight on that particular recording is the half-hour guided journey that I facilitate, which is a very healing and transformational process that connects you with your own inner resources and inner wisdom and guidance. And there I use hypnotherapeutic visualization principles along with unconscious mind coaching approaches, and it's a very powerful, very effective, and a methodology that enables people to really enter a powerful, or dare I say, deeply relaxing state of relaxation, even when they typically are the kinds of people that are unable to unwind, who really can't let go, whom guided meditations and so forth have never really worked for in the past. This tends to still be very effective for those types of people. The track thereafter is music and entrainment technologies, which is the same music and entrainment technologies used in the guided journey, but now without my voice. And a lot of people like to use this in healing type environments or to assist them to enter deep states of meditation. And I've had great feedback from insomniac who utilize this CD and especially this track to enable sleep without the use of any kind of sleeping tablets of any kind, because it actually entrains your brain waves to enter nearly the deepest level of sleep. And that is, of course, very useful. And that's the tour de force of what this particular recording is all about.
So to make it easy for you to be able to find Javon's site, so that those of you who may want to purchase the Cool, Calm, and Collected or any of the other audios around habit change and so on, I've put the link for his website, neurolinguistics.net, down in the bottom right-hand corner on the webcast page. So if you click through to that, you'll be taken directly through to Javon's site. And, you know, I'm thinking that the amount of value that you've shared this evening and the wonderful tips and techniques and very practical techniques, thank you for that. I think some of the distinctions that I'm really taking away with me are especially around embracing uncertainty, because uncertainty is a prerequisite for creativity and breakthroughs. And that powerful question, who do I need to be in order to attract the people and circumstances that I want? Those are really powerful. And this process that you've guided us through, it's great that it's on record. So those of you who want to take yourself through it and who want the full benefit of Javon's Cool, Calm, and Collected CD, where, I mean, if this is what you get out of, that was about 5 minutes that you guided us through, Javon, you know, a half an hour version, it must be truly phenomenal.
selling product.
Really, I can well imagine. In fact, I have the Cool, Calm, and Collected CD myself, and it is one that I have used when I'm painting. It's something that helps me to really switch off my critical voice, because of course my critical voice gets in the way of me being able to just play and paint. So there are a wonderful variety of different ways that this can be really useful. So how else can listeners connect with you, Javon? I'm sure that there'll be people who want to be staying in touch with you and find out more about working with you and your products.
Well, thanks for asking that too, Kath. basically people visiting our website have the option to opt in for our free weekly personal development tips and inspirational quotes. And we'll send you then on a weekly basis some things like what you've heard tonight, along with many, many others that are practical, simple, and yet effective. So please feel free to opt in for those free weekly personal development tips and inspirational quotes on our website. Those in South Africa, we are offering our authentic self-empowerment facilitators training from the 23rd to 27th of May. And in September, we'll be in Mallorca offering some NLP training. So those in Europe get to benefit from that too. One other thing, if you'd like to email us, my email address is info@neuro-linguistics.net. And we look forward to hearing from you. If you have any questions about this call, I'd be glad to answer them. You'll find our Skype details on the website, too. I'm glad to connect with you in that way. And we do offer coaching via Skype and telephone as well worldwide, and would be glad to be of service in that way, too.
That's great. So remember, I've made it easy for you to click through and find Yvonne's site. If you go to the webcast page down in the bottom right-hand corner, you can just click on the link that says neurolinguistics.net. And also for those of you who've enjoyed this call and want to make some changes to your state and so that you can think more clearly and get stuff done, you're really focused on using a calm state to become more productive and creative and effective, then that's really what my 7-module do-it-yourself coaching program called Zen Productivity is all about. So if you're interested to find out more about that, you can click on the big button on the webcast page that says Want a Calm, Clear Mind, and you can go and find out more about that. And because I know how powerful Yvonne's CD, Cool, Calm, and Collected, is, and to thank him for doing this call, I'm throwing in as a special bonus for the first 12 people to sign up for the Zen Productivity Do-It-Yourself coaching program. I will throw in Yvonne's CD, Cool, Calm, and Collected. It'll be an MP3 version. So it's not advertised on my website because this is not an offer available to everyone. It's exclusive to people on this call. But the first 12 people to purchase Zen Productivity today will get Yvonne's MP3, Cool, Calm, and Collected as a bonus gift. And then finally, to be notified of future teleseminars that I'm going to be running, sign up for my newsletter at my website, mindyourresources.com. I'd love to stay in touch with you. And once again, Yvonne, thank you so much. I feel supremely relaxed and centered now and ready to respond flexibly and creatively to anything that may come my way. So thank you for your generosity and all that you've shared this evening. And it's going to be great to listen back again and do the exercise again.
You're so very welcome, Kath. It's been an absolute pleasure. This is really what I love doing. And I really hope people will get benefits from this. And I certainly know that they will. But it's when you put it into practice, ladies and gentlemen. This stuff isn't just useful to you as an intellectual idea. It's in the doing. So please do get busy with some of these ideas, if it means listening to the download again or whatever. The more you do it, the more it works. And thank you to all for the opportunity to share this with you.
Thank you. And thank you to everyone who called in this evening to listen live. And I look forward to connecting with you all again soon. Good night.
Thank you. Good night.